Today is the 11th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as the summer bakes us here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. I'm excited that we can be together here around the global campfire and take another step forward in our journey through the scriptures. And our journey today brings us into new territory, sorta, kinda. We finished the book of Ezra yesterday, which brings us to the book of Nehemiah. Although Ezra and Nehemiah were at one time one manuscript, but now we have the two books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is a book that is a part of a larger grouping of books known as the books of history. And as we begin Nehemiah, we're picking up pretty much where Ezra left off. In Christian tradition, Ezra is thought to be one of the authors of Nehemiah because Ezra and Nehemiah were at one time one single manuscript, like we just said. So Nehemiah was one of the Jewish exiles, and he was in Persia and had been following the story of the return of some of the exiles who were given permission to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. So he had been following this story, watching God's favor upon the people. And he was able to keep up with the story pretty closely because Nehemiah was a direct servant to the king of Persia. And what we'll see is that Nehemiah begins to have a dream. Not like a sleeping dream, but he begins to dream of something. It gets planted into him and it begins to germinate and grow, which leads to a lot of consideration, a lot of thought, a lot of prayer and intercession. Because Nehemiah was thinking about this new temple of God being built in Jerusalem, the temple of the Most High God, the icon of the Jewish people, like the symbol, the place where God would meet with mankind. And he's thinking about it being rebuilt in Jerusalem, standing there completely undefended. And so a passion, a dream inside of him begins to germinate that the walls around Jerusalem need to be rebuilt to protect the temple of the Most High God. And this passion grows until Nehemiah has to take a risk and bring it before the king. But Nehemiah was sent to go and rebuild, and we'll watch. He faces all kinds of opposition, but he perseveres. And one of the things that become apparent as he's persevering is that he never loses sight of his utter, God is the only one that will bring the project to fruition, facing all of the obstacles that they face. And he doesn't lose sight of that. And the wall gets rebuilt way faster than expected. And then Nehemiah returns to serve the king in Persia. But at a later time, he's allowed to return to Jerusalem, and he goes back to Jerusalem and sees a strong wall, this strong wall that they built. But the people are weak. Very similar themes to what we saw in Ezra. And so we'll watch Nehemiah step into that breach, and revival in the land emerges as the returned exiles understand God's commandments. So, yes, Nehemiah is considered one of the books of history, but the lessons for us are so apparent. As we consider the dreams, the ideas that are germinating in us and beginning to grow, things that we begin to feel as if God might be inviting us to be involved in, so often we just say yes and go off into the adventure only to crash and burn because we didn't really think any of it through. Let's watch Nehemiah as he thinks it all through. Let's watch him as he systematically follows a dream into its fruition. And with that, we begin. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, verse 14 today. This is the account of what Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, accomplished. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year that Artaxerxes was emperor of Persia, I, Nehemiah, was in Susa, the capital city. Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived from Judah with another group, and I asked them about Jerusalem and about the other Jews who had returned from exile in Babylonia. They told me that those who had survived and were back in the homeland were in great difficulty, and that the foreigners who lived nearby looked down on them. They also told me that the walls of Jerusalem were still broken down, and that the gates had not been restored since the time they were burned. When I heard all this, I sat down and wept. For several days I mourned and did not eat. I prayed to God, "Lord, God of heaven, you are great, and we stand in fear of you. You faithfully keep your covenant with those who love you and do what you command. Look at me, Lord, and hear my prayer as I pray day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess that we, the people of Israel, have sinned. My ancestors and I have sinned. We have acted wickedly against you and have not done what you commanded. We have not kept the laws which you gave us through Moses, your servant. Remember now what you told Moses. If you people of Israel are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the other nations. But then, if you turn back to me and do what I have commanded you, I will bring you back to the place where I have chosen to be worshipped, even though you are scattered to the ends of the earth. Lord, these are your servants, your own people. You rescued them by your great power and strength. Listen now to my prayer and to the prayers of all your other servants who want to honor you. Give me success today and make the emperor merciful to me. In those days, I was the emperor's wine steward. One day, 4 months later, when Emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He had never seen me look sad before, so he asked, "Why are you looking so sad? You aren't sick, so it must be that you're unhappy." I was startled and answered, "May your majesty live forever. How can I keep from looking sad when the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The emperor asked, "What is it that you want?" I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the emperor, "If your majesty is pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city." The emperor, with the empress sitting at his side, approved my request. He asked me how long I would be gone and when I would return, and I told him. Then I asked him to grant me the favor of giving me letters to the governors of west of Euphrates province, instructing them to let me travel to Judah. I asked also for a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal forests, instructing him to supply me with timber for the gates of the fort that guards the temple, for the city walls, and for the house I was to live in. The emperor gave me all I asked for, because God was with me. The emperor sent some army officers and a troop of cavalry with me, and I made the journey to west of Euphrates. There I gave the emperor's letters to the governors. But Sanballat, from the town of Bet Horon, and Tobiah, an official in the province of Ammon, heard that someone had come to work for the good of the people of Israel, and they were highly indignant. I went on to Jerusalem, and for 3 days I did not tell anyone what God had inspired me to do for Jerusalem. Then, in the middle of the night, I got up and went out, taking a few of my companions with me. The only animal we took was the donkey that I rode on. It was still night as I left the city through the valley gate on the west and went south past Dragon's Fountain to the rubbish gate. As I went, I inspected the broken walls of the city and the gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then, on the east side of the city, I went north to the fountain gates and the king's pool. The donkey I was riding could not find any path through the rubble, so I went down into the Kidron Valley and rode along, looking at the wall. Then I returned the way I had come and went back into the city through the valley gates. None of the local officials knew where I had gone or what I had been doing. So far, I had not said anything to any of the other Jews, the priests, the leaders, the officials, or anyone else who would be taking part in the work. But now I said to them, "See what trouble we are in, because Jerusalem is in ruins and its gates are destroyed. Let's rebuild the city walls and put an end to our disgrace." And I told them how God had been with me and helped me, and what the emperor had said to me. They responded, "Let's start rebuilding." And they got ready to start the work. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and an Arab named Geshem heard what we were planning to do, they laughed at us and said, "What do you think you're doing? Are you going to rebel against the emperor?" I answered, "The God of heaven will give us success. We are his servants, and we are going to start building. But you have no right to any property in Jerusalem, and you have no share in its traditions." This is how the city wall was rebuilt. The high priest Eliashib and his fellow priests rebuilt the sheep gate, dedicated it, and put the gates in place. They dedicated the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the next section. Zachor, son of Imri, built the next section. The clan of Hasaneah built the fish gate. They put the beams and the gates in place and put the bolts and bars for locking the gate. Meramoth, the son of Uriah and grandson of Ikaz, built the next section. Meshulam, the son of Berechiah and grandson of Meshezabel, built the next section. Zadok, son of Baana, built the next section. The men of Tekoa built the next section, but the leading men of the town refused to do the manual labor assigned to them by the supervisors. Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah, rebuilt Jeshana Gate. They put the beams and the gates in place and put in the bolts and bars for locking the gate. Melatiah from Gibeon, Jadon from Meronoth, and the men of Gibeon and Mitzpah built the next section, as far as the residence of the governor of west of Euphrates. Uzziel, son of Harahiah, a goldsmith, built the next section. Hananiah, a maker of perfumes, built the next section as far as Broadwall. Raphiah, son of Hur, ruler of half of the Jerusalem district, built the next section. Jediah, son of Haramoth, built the next section, which was near his own house. Hattush, son of Hashabaneah, built the next section. Melchijah, son of Harim, and Ashub, son of Peat Moab, built both the next section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Haloash, ruler of the other half of the Jerusalem district, built the next section. His daughters helped with the work. Hanun and the inhabitants of the city of Zenoa rebuilt the valley gate. They put the gates in place, put in the bolts and the bars for locking the gate, and repaired the wall for 1,500 feet, as far as the rubbish gate. Melchijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the Bet-Hakarim district, rebuilt the rubbish gate. He put the gates in place and put in the bolts and the bars for locking the gate. First Corinthians 7:1-24. Now, to deal with the matters you wrote about, a man does well not to marry, but because there is so much immorality, every man should have his own wife, and every woman should have her own husband. A man should fulfill his duty as a husband, and a woman should fulfill her duty as a wife, and each should satisfy the other's needs. A wife is not the master of her own body, but her husband is. In the same way, A husband is not the master of his own body, but his wife is. Do not deny yourselves to each other, unless you first agree to do so for a while in order to spend your time in prayer, but then resume normal marital relations. In this way, you will be kept from giving in to Satan's temptation because of your lack of self-control. I tell you this not as an order, but simply as a permission. Actually, I would prefer that all of you were as I am, but each one has a special gift from God. One person this gift, another one that gift. Now, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it would be better for you to continue to live alone as I do. But if you cannot restrain your desires, go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. For married people, I have a command which is not my own, but the Lord's. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does, she must remain single or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the others I say, I myself, not the Lord. If a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she agrees to go on living with him, he must not divorce her. And if a Christian woman is married to a man who is an unbeliever and he agrees to go on living with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made acceptable to God by being united to his wife. And the unbelieving wife is made acceptable to God by being united to her Christian husband. If this were not so, their children would be like pagan children. But as it is, they are acceptable to God. However, if the one who is not a believer wishes to leave the Christian partner, let it be so. In such cases, the Christian partner, whether husband or wife, is free to act. God has called you to live in peace. How can you be sure, Christian wife, that you will not save your husband? Or how can you be sure, Christian husband, that you will not save your wife? Each of you should go on living according to the Lord's gift to you, and as you were when God called you. This is the rule I teach in all the churches. If a circumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not try to remove the marks of circumcision. If an uncircumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not get circumcised. For whether or not a man is circumcised means nothing. What matters is to obey God's commandments. Each of you should remain as you were when you accepted God's call. Were you a slave when God called you? Well, never mind. But if you have a chance to become free, use it. For a slave who has been called by the Lord is the Lord's free person. In the same way, a free person who has been called by Christ is his slave. God bought you for a price, so do not become slaves of people. My friends, each of you should remain in fellowship with God in the same condition that you were when you were called. Psalm 31, 19-24. How wonderful are the good things you keep for those who honor you. Everyone knows how good you are, how securely you protect those who trust you. You hide them in the safety of your presence, from the plots of others. In a safe shelter, you hide them from the insults of their enemies. Praise the Lord. How wonderfully he showed his love for me. When I was surrounded and attacked, I was afraid and thought that he had driven me out of his presence. But he heard my cry when I called to him for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord protects the faithful, but punishes the proud as they deserve. Be strong. Be courageous, all you that hope in the Lord. Proverbs 21:4. Wicked people are controlled by their conceit and arrogance, and this is sinful. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this new territory that we are moving into as we've stepped into the book of Nehemiah. And Holy Spirit, come, let us see an example laid out in Nehemiah as we watch his character and as we watch his endurance and his resolve. Teach us, lead us into all truth. Show us our next step, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, home base. That is where you can find out what's happening. The Daily Audio Bible does that and a lot more. And you can download the app free from the app store that works with your device. So check that out. And yeah, check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected. This is where different links to social media are. It's where the prayer wall lives. So be familiar with that, because that is a resource for us that we always have in this community around the global campfire. We can always ask for prayer. We can always reach out. We can always reach back. And so be familiar with that. Check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around showing up for each other every day, if that is a life-giving thing for you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, I'm going to keep this phone call anonymous, but I'm just having some trouble with my relationship right now with my boyfriend, and we're both Christians. We both listen to the Daily Audio Bible, and, we've done a lot together to grow in our faith, and we're just struggling right now. I'm really struggling with the relationship personally, just with some things that have happened, and I just don't know what to do. And I just want everything to be okay. I just feel like, too, my relationship with God has been a little less than it has been in the past, and I could just really use help in prayer.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you so very much for starting the DAB, for following the prompting that God gave you back in Tennessee when you were pursuing your music career. I cannot tell you how often my situation with my son gets me down, so depressed that the thought of praying is like spitting in the wind. And yet, when I listen to the DAB and I listen to your encouraging words, Brian, I'm like, how can that man have such faith? How can that man be so strong, so convinced? And then you listen to the prayers after that, and you listen to Kingdom Seeker Daniel and his wife, and they're in an airport and a layover. And they said, sometimes you feel like your life is in a layover, but it's doesn't mean you're not going to arrive. And Sparky, what you have gone through and your sharing of your testimony. And Manita, how you lift everyone up, and you are enamored as well with everybody's faith and prayers. Thank you for calling. Thank you for praying. Thank you for reaching out. Calling on God, our only hope. God, our Father, our Abba, our Daddy, our Creator, our Healer, our everything. Thank you for calling, because if you didn't call out and pray, it would be so much more difficult for me on those days that I am just so depressed with my son and situation. And my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do but pray. I've asked for forgiveness. All I can do is pray. But I pray because you guys pray. And I thank you so much for your prayers. And I thank you for your praises. Someday I hope I have praises. Someday I hope I can be a caller.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier. Just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for that precious lady who called about her daughter needing a liver transplant. I want to pray for her. I want to also pray for Tina, who's, I think that's her name. I think it's Tina, who's suffering with, yeah, that's the one, Tina. I want to pray for her. Gracious Father, we ask you to have your way in that young woman's life. Her mother is calling and crying out for her. Father, you are a miracle-working God. You have your way, Father. Even with the liver, Lord, you can do anything but fail. You spoke to the winds, and the winds obey you. You speak to that liver, Lord, and let it start acting right, or you have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus, we just ask that you touch and you heal as only you can. You answer that precious woman's prayer just like you did the woman whose son had died. God, you are God that can do anything but fail. You have the compassion and the love. Lord, you have your way, Father, in the name of Jesus. You touch my brother also who's suffering with pornography. Father, we ask that you remove that desire, that you kill that spider of desire, Lord, and knock down the cobwebs of life and give him the victory over everyone, the victory over pornography, the victory over liquor, the victory over strongholds. We ask that you knock down the cobweb of life, the cobweb of the, you knock down the spider of desire, and let the cobweb of life be knocked down in their life, that they will have the victory. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for this podcast. We thank you for blessing Brian tremendously and his family. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Have a good day, Deborah. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Patty in Houston. Today is August 5th. There's a caller today, a mother calling in for her daughter, Tina, who is suffering from non-alcoholic liver disease. Her weight is down to 100 pounds, and she's unable to take sustenance. Therefore, she needs a feeding tube. And it sounds like this is something that's not as easy to give her as we all think. I just lift up this young lady, Tina, Lord, into your hands for your care, for your healing, for a miracle that she can be given the daily comfort of your presence and the comfort of her body and the presence of you in her mind that gives her peace. I pray, Lord, that the doctors are able to administer a feeding tube so that she can receive daily sustenance and thrive with weight gain and a healthy body to be able to receive a donor liver. Lord, I pray that you have your hands on all of these aspects of her life, that you are with her, that you are with her mother and family, that they are comforted knowing that us dabbers are lifting her up in prayer, lifting her up into your care, for there is no better hands, Lord, than yours. I pray, Lord, that you look upon this family, that you hear our cry,